Well, hello once again, and welcome to a special anniversary edition of Coffee, Tea, or Pop. I'm Marc Denis, and yes, this particular audio program on Air Canada is 5 years old, and I couldn't think of any better way of saluting this than with a best of Coffee, Tea, or Pop, featuring the outstanding songs and stories as told by the many artists I've had the pleasure to interview for you over the course of the last 5 years. Time does fly. Eh bien oui, l'émission Aéropop fête son cinquième anniversaire sur les ailes d'Air Canada. Et quoi de mieux pour souligner l'événement qu'une édition toute spéciale de l'émission regroupant les meilleures chansons et anecdotes de mes invités, telles qu'entendues au cours des 5 dernières années de voyage. Ici Marc Denis, mettez-vous bien à votre aise, revue de bord en route bien en main, et tournez à la page audio pour les meilleurs de l'émission Aéropop. So, without further ado, make yourself comfortable and turn to the audio pages of your En Route magazine in order to follow the best of CTP, the stories. As we begin with a story from the Coffee, Tea, or Pop program, which aired September-October 1991, and featured the Mamas and Papas in music and conversation. Who could forget that great story from group member and fellow Canadian Denny Doherty recalling the Mamas and Papas' lavish and flamboyant lifestyle in the mid-60s, which included traveling on tours by Learjet, no less. Denny Doherty.
At one point, we asked the pilot of the Learjet, what'll it do? And the guy said, well, I can go to 70,000 feet and level off, and then we hit the apex and dive, and you'll all be weightless, but you have to put your seatbelts on. And we said, oh, sure, we'll put the seatbelts on. Ha, ha, ha. So he went to 70,000 feet and hit the apex and was coming down, and we all popped our seatbelts, and we were all floating around the cabin, and Cass didn't weigh a thing. She was floating in the air. And so with everything else in the plane, the drinks and everything else was going on. And as a matter of fact, on that same flight, I think John or Michelle had just come back from Marrakesh and had a water pipe that was full of nefarious condiments and things, and we were honking on that in the back of the Learjet.
And all the leaves are brown.
Oh, and all the leaves are purple and the sky is blue. Green. Now, wait a minute, it's red.
Des meilleurs de l'émission Aéropop sur les ailes d'Air Canada. C'est Marc Denis qui vous accompagne à cet anniversaire du programme, que j'anime avec beaucoup de plaisir d'ailleurs, depuis déjà 5 ans. 5 années où les chanteurs et les chanteuses les mieux connus des années 50, 60, 70 et au-delà se sont succédés, mois après mois, dans notre firmament d'étoiles Air Canada, en musique et en propos. Ben, si vous avez aimé les 2 premières histoires, vous allez adorer celles qui s'en viennent avec les Paul Anka, Tommy James, Pierre Bertrand et les autres. And up next, one of my favorite guests over the past 5 years of Coffee, Tea, or Pop, the nutty Paul Revere. This is a story from our March-April 1991 show featuring Paul Revere and the Raiders. Now, you frequent flyers will certainly fondly remember this car story from 60s-70s Columbia recording star Paul Revere.
In 1966, with one of my great royalty checks that came from Columbia, I just went down and I bought a... I'm very conservative, but when it comes to cars, I get crazy. I bought a Rolls-Royce Silver Cloud 3, big old black one, and an Excalibur in one day. It was a nice big check.
Too many purchases, many kisses on that magic carpet ride last night.
A Rolls-Royce and an Excalibur in one day. That's what you call getting your kicks. Hey, how about these stories now from just recently, the Coffee, Tea, or Pop edition of May and June 1993, featuring my guests, the Everly Brothers. Here's Phil Everly with a great Bob Dylan story.
We were in playing a place called The Bitter End in New York City, and we had gone upstairs to the office, which was, oh, you're talking the size of maybe the area where they're preparing our lunch on the plane. A little, twice the size of that. And there's about 8 of us in there. And Bob Dylan's singing. I asked Bob, and I said, have you got a song for us? And he said, well, you know, I've got a song. And Bob talks, no offense to him, but Bob talks very soft. And he sang, Lay, Lady, Lay, very softly. Lay, Lady, Lay. And you don't ask a man like that, what did you say? But I had assumed he had said, "Lay, lady, lay, lay across my big breast, babe." Because he was capable of writing a lyric like that. And he finished the song, and there was kind of a small, deafening silence there. And I volunteered the remark. I said, "I don't think we can get away with that lyric." And he said, "Oh, okay." You know, and he showed us another song. And when the record came out, to this day, I don't know whether he changed it or not.
That is a great story. And not to be outdone, Brother Don Everly also contributed an anecdote to the program about one of the first times the Everlys played in Canada.
Well, we've toured the last 30 years. It's been in Canada, from Montreal to Vancouver, and all the places in between. And one particular time, I forget, where we were playing up in northern Quebec, Rouen, Quebec. We flew into that gig. It was the first and last time we've ever done that. And it was a pontoon plane landed on the lake near the gig. This was a long time ago. But I remember the bush pilot looking at the weather and saying, "Well, I don't know." And he said, "Come on, we got to make this gig." Flew over the river and it didn't look right. So we landed on the lake, got out of with our guitars out of this plane, crawled up the bank to the highway, walked to a phone booth and called a taxi. Went on to the gig.
Wake up, it's Susie. Wake up.
You're listening to the best of Coffee, Tea, or Pop, The Stories. I'm Mark Denis with a story now from one of our first get-togethers, the Coffee, Tea, or Pop of September-October 1989, which featured four guests: Gary Puckett of Union Gap fame, Jay Black of Jay and the Americans, Roger McGuinn of the Byrds, and an enthusiastic Junior Walker who told how his great hit Shotgun came to be recorded.
Shotgun was a funny thing. You know, I was playing for a club in Battle Creek, Michigan, and was watching the kids, and they was dancing. And so I asked them, I says, what's going on? What you doing? All that squatting, and, you know, they said, "That's called a shotgun." You know, I said, "Shotgun." So one of the girls said, "Look, you got to write a tune." You know, said, "Y'all trying to record, ain't you?" I said, "Yeah, we cutting a few tunes." And so I said, "Write that tune." So I said, "Okay." So I did Shotgun. I called Barry Gordy. He said, "What you got going, man?" I said, "Well, I got a tune I want to come in and record." He said, "What is it?" I told him, I said, "Shotgun."
From the great Motown sax man Junior Walker and his contribution to the best of Coffee, Tea, or Pop, we now go back to the November-December of 1992 edition of the program for rock and roll doo-wop pioneer Dion DiMucci and his story on how pop music and popcorn may not always mix.
Well, there's one story that really is etched in my mind. There's, you know, certain things that you can't forget. I was with the Belmonts, I think, in 1959 at the Maple Leaf Gardens in Toronto, and we were busy along the outskirts eating our peanuts and popcorn before we went on. And we went on, and we started, you know, we'd gather around one mic and start doing this ooh wop wop boom dun da 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 da, and peanuts started flying out of our at each other. It was like there was a machine gun and the peanuts and popcorn flying out of it. Since that day, I never eat peanuts or popcorn before going on.
Here's my story, it's sad but true. Hey. I keep away from a run around Sue, yeah.
Hey. Hey.
Stay away from that guy.
Hey. Hey.
Don't you know what you do now?
Vous êtes à l'écoute des meilleurs de l'émission Aéropop, c'est Marc Denis qui vous parle. Ce cinquième anniversaire du programme, que j'anime pour vous, toujours avec beaucoup de plaisir d'ailleurs. Eh bien, si le rocker Dion DiMucci nous a raconté qu'il n'est peut-être pas sage de bouffer des arachides et du maïs soufflé avant d'entrer sur scène, que dire du leader des Beach Boys, Brian Wilson, et de sa seule et unique rencontre avec Elvis Presley? Ce dernier, on le sait, un adepte des arts martiaux, toujours très sérieux dans sa discipline. C'est ce que vous allez découvrir. Well, up next on the best of Coffee, Tea, or Pop, a story from the January-February 1991 edition of this show, featuring the Beach Boys. Bandleader Brian Wilson had revealed to me that he was quite impressed with his one and only meeting with Elvis Presley back in 1976. Brian Wilson, a John Wayne lookalike, according to Presley, tells the tale.
I walked up to Elvis, and I introduced myself, and he went, "Hey, Duke." He called me Duke, right? And then I went to flip him a fake karate chop, because I knew he was a karate man, right? You know, he was a black belt in karate. So I went, whew, like as if to hit him in the stomach, and he goes, wham! And he chopped my hand, man. And it hurt so bad, I walked out, man. I went, ah, ow, ow, and I walked out of the studio, man. And he was laughing away, you know, he was laughing. It hurt. It really hurt a lot. And then he died.
Round, round, get around. I get around. Yeah, get around, round, round. I get around. I get around.
And then he died. Or did he? Alive and well, for sure, and 5 years old on Air Canada, here with the best of Coffee, Tea, or Pop, the stories. I'm Marc Denis with one of the best ever stories on this high-flying program, coming from our January-February of 1992 edition featuring Canadian legend Paul Anka yesterday and today. You frequent flyers just might remember this great story from Ottawa's native son.
One that comes to my mind was the first time I went to Japan. I was first pop artist with, I think, 5 records in the top 10. I got over there. I was singing my songs. I was just out of Canada, and I went into this huge building, and they had a stage that started in the basement, and they would start you in the basement, and it would slowly go up and level with the stage. And there I was with 15,000 people, and there was like a typhoon outside, right? And it's blowing, and then I'm down at the bottom, and we're trying to deal with doing the show, and the band starts playing, and I'm down like about 15 feet in this basement, and I'm standing there scared to death. The wind is howling, but the kids are screaming, and the stage starts to come up, and the band is playing, and it's the first time they saw Paul Anka and Osaka. And it's just as the stage got up and my head appeared and the light hit it, the typhoon knocked out like the part of the electrical, and there was my head laying on the stage. There was no body but a head. And I'm singing, the people are looking. We didn't know he was that short. They couldn't get that stage up. And all you saw was a head in the newspapers the next day.
Put your head on my shoulder.
Écoutez les meilleurs de l'émission Aéropop. Et de Paul Anka, on passe maintenant à une anecdote tirée de l'avis de recherche d'un océan à l'autre qui a roulé sur ce poste de juillet à octobre 1992 et qui regroupait une douzaine des meilleurs groupes canadiens et québécois des années 70. Vous vous souviendrez sans doute de Pierre Bertrand, l'ancien de Beau Dommage, qui nous rappelait qu'il n'est peut-être pas sage d'inclure une adresse personnelle dans un texte, comme dans la chanson « Tous les palmiers ». Pierre Bertrand.
Les palmiers, c'est ce qui est drôle, c'est qu'au moment de la chanson où ça dit... Vous pouvez m'appeler ici 6760 Saint-Vallier, Montréal. Mais ça, c'est une adresse qui existe. Puis Robert Léger, qui a composé la chanson, les paroles et la musique, il restait là. Puis il restait vraiment là, mais il était loin de se douter que cette chanson-là deviendrait un succès phénoménal. Alors, il a reçu plein de lettres, puis de télégrammes, puis de cassettes, démos, de toutes sortes de monde. Ça a été... En tout cas, il a déménagé à un moment donné.
tous les palmiers. C'est pareil quand je serai parti. 77, 60.
From the much appreciated Canadian Rock and Roll Reunion edition of Coffee, Tea, or Pop, which ran July through October 1992, that was Quebec singer-songwriter Pierre Bertrand, one-time member of rock group Beau Dommage, all about the perils of innocently including a real address in the lyrics of what became the band's first huge hit. You just may be forced to move to a new address. Moving on now to May and June of 1992 on the best of Coffee, Tea, or Pop, at which time my guest was rock and roller Tommy James, who recalled a great story that involved he and his group, the Shondells, on live TV.
Well, I guess, you know, one of my favorite stories is the first Ed Sullivan show that we ever did. And, you know, doing the Sullivan show was terrifying. You know, one mistake and it was over. And so everything went fine during the show. We did Crimson and Clover and Moni Moni. And the one thing I forgot about was I had to talk to Ed. And he goes, now, Tommy, come on. He says, Born and raised in New York City, Tony Jones and the Spandells. Which means, number one, he's never heard of you. And number two, he can't read. So now, Tony, I got the number one record at the time. Now, Tony, I understand you were born and raised in New York. Wrong. Not even close. You know, so in front of 140 million people, I got to tell Ed, no, you're wrong. I was born in Dayton, Ohio, and moved to Niles, Michigan. Once again, born and raised in New York City, Tony Jones.
You're listening to the best of Coffee, Tea, or Pop. Here's another great story, this time from the July-August 1991 edition, as told by Leslie Gore.
The first time that I did the American Bandstand show, I remember this very clearly. I was hanging out with some of my girlfriends in high school. I was a junior, and it was a Thursday or Friday. I was driving down the next morning to Philly to do the show, and at the time I bit my nails severely, and my friends looked at my nails and they said, "You can't go on American Bandstand looking like that." So we drove to the drugstore and we got those little patty nails, and everyone like grabbed two nails. Then we took some cement and stuck them under my cuticles, and I fell asleep sort of like I was dead with my hands on top of my chest so I wouldn't break any of the nails. I wake up the next morning and I guess I was allergic to the cement. My cuticles were out. I mean, it was terrible. I had to go to a doctor and have them all surgically removed. And I went down to Philadelphia with no nails.
Hey, you would cry too if they were stuck with glue. Great story. I'm Mark Denny, saluting 5 years on board Air Canada with the best of Coffee, Tea, or Pop, the stories. Now, although this next one is not a story per se, it's nonetheless one of the great outtakes of the program we decided to leave as is. From the January-February 1993 edition, here's the great John Sebastian trying to recall with me when and where his group, The Love and Spoonful, played in Canada. John?
We did Expo in Toronto. Expo 66.
Oh.
Now, wait, am I wrong here?
You're wrong. It was Expo 67 in Montreal.
Okay, And that was the first question that went to the left of the fuselage.
Did you ever have to make up your mind to pick up on one or leave the other behind? So many changes, did you miss time? Did you ever have to finally decide?
Vous écoutez les meilleurs de l'émission Aéropop édition 5e anniversaire. C'est Marc Denis, comme toujours, qui vous parle. Eh bien, si John Sebastian, l'ex-soliste des Love and Spoonful, avait beaucoup de difficultés, lui, à se souvenir si l'Expo 67 avait eu lieu à Toronto ou bien à Montréal, écoutons maintenant une savoureuse histoire de l'ex-Beatle Paul McCartney. Now, you frequent flyers may recall September-October 1990 on Coffee, Tea, or Pop, when Paul McCartney delivered a great story when I asked him about the relationship between his former group, the Beatles, and the Rolling Stones in the 60s.
We were just good friends through the 60s. Good guys. And the joke used to be that everyone used to think they were dirty, right? Everyone thought they had long hair. But you look at those pictures, they're very clean young boys, very smartly turned out, you know. It's really nothing like long hair is these days. And I met this policeman up in Birmingham once. It was like, we used to always used to get in the police vans, you know, in and out of things. We were in this, he said, "Oh, I like your group," he said, "but I hate them Rolling Stones." He said, "They're terrible," he said, "they're filthy." I said, "Wait a minute," I said, "I know these guys, what do you mean filthy?" He said, "Well, that Mick Jagger," he said, "he wore the same T-shirt on stage as he'd been wearing all day." I thought, well, that's filth.
1, 2, 3, 4!
Oh, the best of Coffee, Tea, or Pop, the stories, continues now with a cut from March-April of 1991, when two of the singing turtles, the very happy together Mark Volman and Howard Kalin, recalled a story from many years ago about a turtle's gig in Canada gone strange.
Up in St. John's, Newfoundland, we came up to play for the university.
Right, we came up to play, and they were supposed to put us up in hotel rooms, but there was a convention in town, and all the hotel rooms were sold out. So when we got there, the students picked us up at the airport and told us we would all be staying at different people's houses. And Mark and I got put up at this one place where we shared the attic with some old lady. And we heard groans and noises in the middle of the night, and we were scared out of our minds. The place was haunted. There was no doubt about it. We couldn't sleep. We heard voices and noises, and we must have been three sheets to the wind on the fine Canadian beer.
If there's a way you could be four or five sheets to the wind, we were...
Yeah, I think I was six or seven sheets to the wind when I married one of your Canadian citizens, but...
Imagine me and you, I do. I think about you day and night. It's only right to think about the girl you love and hold her tight. So happy together. We're happy together.
But certainly not least, to conclude this fifth anniversary edition of the Best of Coffee, Tea, or Pop, the stories, here's a cut from a Canadian rock and roll reunion which ran between July and October 1992 on this channel and featured 14 of Canada's best-remembered groups of the early 70s in music and conversation. Here's one-time keyboard player and musical arranger for Lighthouse, Paul Hoffert, remembering his last official gig with the group.
Last job that I played with Lighthouse was at Maple Leaf Gardens in Toronto. And what I really remember is I wanted to do something really special to kind of go out with a bang. And so I rigged this shirt with a whole bunch of lights on it that I could flash by pressing a button on me. And I was wearing about 120 volts of battery packs on a belt. And every time I pressed the button, this thing would light up. And I figured, this is really great theater. And we tested it, and it worked fine. And of course, we went on stage, we started playing. About halfway through the set, I pressed the button, and I always got shot to the moon because I was sweating. And of course, I was just getting those shocks like all over the place as this thing was lighting up. So my recollection of my last job was that I went out with almost a literal bang.
Well, there you go. I'm Mark Denis, hoping you enjoyed this all-star fifth anniversary special on Coffee, Tea, or Pop, no matter where this flight may be taking you, east, west, north, or south. And to celebrate the event, have yourselves a second bag of airline peanuts on me. Sure. And if you'd like to listen again, of course, stay tuned to this Air Canada channel. We'll be back shortly. J'espère que cette édition 5e anniversaire de l'émission Aéropop vous a plu. Si vous désirez en refaire l'écoute, restez bien branchés sur cette antenne Air Canada. Nous vous reviendrons bientôt. Ici Marc Denis. Bon voyage!